Blog Talk Radio.
Go for it. Go. Go for it. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Go For It on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Paul Gant, and for the next hour, we're going to be talking sports and having fun. I want all your opinions. I want your ideas. I want your beliefs. I want it all. And of course, you're going to get my opinion. The number to call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And again, you can listen at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the on-air button at the top of the page and look for the show. Go for it. Also, you can send messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. And if you send me some messages, I'll read them on air and I'll answer your many questions on air. Today, we're going to talk athletes and whether or not they can be faithful. We're going to have a doctor on. Dr. Andre Brown is scheduled to join us today. We're going to talk that issue, and we're going to get his opinion, and of course, we're going to get your opinion, and of course, you're going to get my opinions. And I thought about this topic for many reasons. One of them, the Tiger Woods situation, his many escapades, his obviously as we talked about it here on the show, and it's been talked about many times in the media and on various talk shows and throughout the country. So and also I want to talk about also the Steve McNair situation. If you don't know, this past summer Steve McNair was tragically murdered, but apparently someone who was his mistress, and a guy who we all thought, many thought, was a typical family guy, a guy who we thought was doing the right things and being faithful, just like Tiger Woods, a guy that we thought was doing the right things and being faithful. And also, when this came out, there was a report on CNN, and according to CNN, 80 to 90% of athletes cheat on their spouse. 80 to 90%. That's high. That is high. And judging by that statistic, being faithful is the exception, and unfortunately it's not the rule. And it's sad, and it led me to believe that, you know what, can an athlete really be faithful? Nah, I don't think he can. I don't think he can. I think it's almost impossible. And I equate it to this, and I want you guys, everyone that's listening, to take this walk with me. Take a walk with me. Let's just listen to this analogy, and I want you to kind of understand why I believe that it's impossible for a single person, a married person, to be faithful. Let's just say you're on a diet, diet equating to marriage, and your goal at this point is try to avoid certain type of sweets, cakes, candies, things of that nature. And those sweets basically are women. And everywhere you go, you have sweets put in your face all the time. I mean, these sweets are right there in your face. You're trying to avoid them. You're trying to be on a diet, but it's in your face. And in every city you go into, you see these sweets. These are grade A sweets. We're talking about grade A cakes, pies, grade A candy. You're talking about the best of the best. You go into these cities and you see them. Like, wow, How can I resist that? And it's in your face. It's in your face. It's in your face. And even if you're not looking for it, it's looking for you. It's looking for you. And I think eventually you're going to blow your diet. And in blowing your diet, you're going to cheat on your wife. And that's what I believe. I think it's almost impossible. It's obviously, it's not impossible. People have done it. But it's close. It's pretty close to impossible for a person who is a professional athlete to be faithful. And you got guys like Doug Christie, for example. Doug Christie, what he would do is with his wife, they would travel essentially city to city together. And they would be with each other essentially at all times. And with her being with him, they avoid the temptation. They avoid being out there. They avoid the temptation that's out there. When you're on the road, all these a good portion of the year. So you avoid these temptations. And in doing so, Doug and Jackie Christie, what they have done is essentially each year they get married, they have a ceremony, and according to an article in the New York Times back in 2002, he stated that he doesn't even make eye contact with females. So, you know, granted, that's more of an extreme way, an extreme version of trying to be faithful, but at the same time, I guess if it works, it works. And Christie would not even do interviews with females unless his wife was present. So it sounds strange, and I mean, it's not something I would do, and it's something I believe that it is fairly strange in some respect. But at the end of the day, if it works for you, it works for you, and that works for the Christies. And each year, like I said before, they have a special ceremony, and in that ceremony, they basically renew their vows each and every year, and they have a full wedding ceremony. So the Christies are doing it, and up to this point, they're still together, and I guess everything is working out for them. And then you have other examples. You have Andre Kirilenko and his wife. Each year, Andre Kirilenko's wife says this to him: "Hey, Andre, you get a free pass. You can go out and do what you got to do with whoever you got to do it with, but you get that one free pass each year. You have a pass. You have a pass. So." And having that pass, Andre, you're able to do whatever you like for that one time. So we're going to talk to a doctor, Dr. Andre Brown. And Dr. Brown has a PhD in marriage and family therapy. So he's an expert. So he can tell us. He can tell us whether these guys truly can be faithful. In addition to that, Dr. Brown is a professor, assistant professor at Lewis Clark College. And he's also a co-director of Affinity Counseling Group in New Jersey. So this guy, he's an expert. He's an expert, and he's a guy who can basically tell you and tell all of us whether or not these guys can truly be faithful. Dr. Brown. Dr. Brown. Hello? Dr. Brown?
Hello?
Dr. Brown.
Yes, hello?
How are you? This is Paul Gant. Welcome to Go For It.
Thank you for having me on this morning.
And thank you for being here. Dr. Brown, as I stated before, Dr. Brown, we're talking about whether athletes can truly be faithful. And Dr. Brown, you're the expert here.
I don't know about expert, but yes.
Well, Dr. Brown, you have the PhD in marriage and family therapy, Dr. Brown, so that, to me, you're an expert.
That'll work.
So, Dr. Brown, can they be faithful?
I think that people can be faithful. I think it's more of a matter of choice and a matter of commitment and dedication to honoring your vows and the things that you've told your partner were important about the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times individuals get confused, or they choose not to do certain things, or they act outside of what the original arrangement was.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, they aren't faithful. But I don't think it's a matter of being unable to not have sex with someone. I think it's a choice or a lifestyle that you've created or have been brought into that may make it harder for some people, but the commitment is really what keeps people faithful. And that's with athletes or individuals, and that goes across race and, you know, the time of partnership as well.
So, Dr. Brown, I think it's important. As a professional athlete, a lot of times you're catered to. You throughout high school, throughout college, and once you get to the pros, it's the same thing. You're always catered to. So kind of take me into the psyche of a pro athlete in some respect.
I think I agree. I think, you know, especially those athletes. Well, you're talking about the elite of the elite. These are the best athletes, the have the highest IQs in whatever their sport is, and have the talent and the work ethic to get them to points where most of us, you know, we only dream about, you know, having, you know, just from their physical status or the extra long arms or, you know, the quickness. So those that show talent very early, there is a sense of being catered to, and a sense of also having, you know, women act in ways that are, aggressive towards you sexually at early age. I know friends that have, you know, 12 and 13-year-old children, boys, who they notice when they play basketball or football, Pop Warner, where some of the parents are a little more friendly with them, and they have to be very protective of their sons. So there is a sense of being catered to and having access to things that a lot of people don't have access to. And so some people, it doesn't necessarily change who they are. And then there's others who haven't had other supports around them to show that, you know, even though you have this talent, then, you know, it doesn't make you a different person, or you still don't have to, you know, show respect or handle your business.
Mm-hmm.
So for those that are talented early, and sometimes, you know, you see the late bloomers as well. You know, some people don't actually show their athletic gifts until high school or college. And then you always have those that, you know, are adults, and then they work hard, and then they just are able to make it on that level. But yeah, there is a sense of being catered to. There's a sense of not having all of their talents, you know, developed equally, where, you know, we know that these men are equally smart, but a lot of them haven't had to focus the same way as others have in the classroom, or have had allowances made during college, or when, you know, they're, you know, even interest in the college is a different scale that you go on if you're an athlete as compared to if you were just a regular student. But that's not all the experience of all of them. But for many, that is pretty common. And because of that, they focus a lot on one part of their life and not the other parts. And so they're kind of underdeveloped in other areas.
So what you're saying is they're developed in the area of athletics and things of that nature, but when it comes down to doing the right things, to understanding the importance of being faithful and being true to your partner, in some respect, they lack that. They lack that ability and that skill to truly be faithful.
I think it's maybe a skill of it is definitely a skill, and it is a commitment. And some men, you know, and that's the same with just men in the general population. You know, most men aren't taught that you have to do things consistently. We're taught to, you know, they'll say stand up for what's right, or, you know, be a man of your word. But that word isn't typically, that's usually the word that you make with other men, and not usually the word you make with other women in relationships. So it's like you wouldn't lie to your boy, but you would definitely lie to your girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Just because that's the way that, you know, we value women in the larger society and how relationships are developed. And most guys would, you know, would say, you know, there is a different code between honesty, you know, with males than it is with females, because they're considered to be, those relations aren't valued as much until you are married. So it's kind of like until you, if you haven't practiced being truthful, you know, in your other relationships, and then when you get to be married for the first time, that's when men start telling the truth, or they still keep those same patterns of secrecy that they've had from as a youth.
Now, Dr. Brown, you talk about the wives. Now, to me, a lot of times, like in the Tiger Woods situation, I mean, she had to know. And to me, I think most of them do know. If not all of them, they know. But to me, like, it's almost like an arrangement. It's like an arrangement. It's like, okay, you know what? You can cheat with this one and that one, but don't embarrass me.
Mm-hmm.
And once they get embarrassed, that's when they start saying, well, okay, I want a divorce, or I'm disappointed in you, and so on and so forth. So talk to the wives.
Well, I think, you know, even with the wives, and I can speak, you know, about marriages in general, a lot of times, you know, women don't know that their partners are cheating on them, their husbands are cheating on them. And they, you know, there are those times where there's arrangements made where it's like, okay, well, I understand as long as you're within these parameters, you know, you don't bring it home. That's kind of the arrangement that a lot of people live with.
Mm-hmm.
There's others who have an absolute, you know, no tolerance policy. And then that policy gets challenged when a person cheats. So you have to decide, am I going to, you know, give up my relationship and the lifestyle and the family that I have and the husband that I really care about because of a sexual indiscretion, or is this something that we can work through? And most people, just like with violence, they want the cheating to stop, or they want the beating to stop, or the behavior to stop, but they still care about their partner. So it becomes really difficult when you're faced with that situation, whether or not you're going to stay or leave. I think that when in these type of relationships where there's a lot of money involved and there's a expectation of indiscretion, then some of the women, you know, will learn to handle things or deal with things differently than what a lot of other people, you know, deal with. You know, just people in the general population. But a lot of times you don't know. You know, men are really good at hiding things, or covering for each other, or
so
not letting you know. So it's just, I think in each case, you really have to think about the people that are there. And like, even if you look at the case of Tiger Woods, I mean, most people, you know, most black people wouldn't really put Tiger Woods in the player category.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just thinking about him as a person.
He doesn't look the part. Style.
He doesn't look the part. So, you know, if a lot of people were surprised because they're like, Tiger? You know, now
right.
If this would have been Kobe Bryant or LeBron James or Dwayne Wade and those type of people who have a more sexualized image, then, you know, some communities or circles wouldn't have batted an eye. It's like, oh, yeah, I see why people would want him.
Mm-hmm.
But most
mm-hmm.
people wasn't really checking for Tiger in that way. So if the world was shocked, she could be equally as shocked, even in a lifestyle of golf. You know, because most people think golfers are just guys that swing sticks but not necessarily have the same type of fan base. Or we know the numbers and the marketing numbers that he's able to put up is unparalleled, but you wouldn't think about that on the street level as far as these are people who are going to, you know, live a lifestyle where they have access to women and these things on a daily basis.
Dr. Brown, In all due respect, you're saying basically that you don't. You said that many times that women do know, but so you're saying that you don't think Tiger Woods' wife knew.
She may not have. I wouldn't. I can't say directly, but I know I've had situations where you're working with men and they've cheated on their wife since the wedding night, and the wife don't know. You know, just as a fact, they don't know. They've hid it. They've had secrecy. The women keep it from the other women. Their friends, their male friends, cover for them, or they just do it in a way that's very discreet. And so it can happen to anyone, you know. And we know that people can live not even just double lives, but triple lives. And we see that in other cases with politicians. I mean, you think of Governor, I'm thinking Governor of New York, Spitzer.
Spitzer, yes.
Spitzer. I mean, he's the person has been vetted from, you know, from youth all the way and get to be the governor of New York. And he's having, you know, sexual encounters and using government money, you know, to have relationships with a young woman. And even with Edwards, you know, he was you know, the vice president, the candidate,
John Edwards, yes.
John Edwards out of North Carolina. He was so powerful that he had a married man say that he had a baby by a woman that wasn't even his child. So, you know, the lengths that people would go to hide their indiscretions is pretty amazing at times. You know, you think about that, you know, you have a man that didn't have sex with a woman stand up in front of the country and say, I did, and this is my child, and he's married. So that's a lot of power, a lot of privilege, a lot of coercion, a lot of things are done, and people will go through great lengths to protect themselves.
Now, Dr. Brown, you talked about these athletes being catered to almost at, you're talking about 10, 12, 11 years old. And they're being catered to, and it's all they know that, you know, everybody's going to cater to me because I'm so such and such, and I can do such and such. So is it the athlete's fault?
Well, I think it's about male privilege, you know, and, you know, men on a whole have male privilege where we have more power and more access to power than women, people of other genders, you know, women. And so I think it's not necessarily your fault. You're born with certain things. And, you know, you can choose to use it or abuse that power as you grow. You know, we know some people, you know, are very skilled with, you know, they have the gift of gab, and they can talk their ways out of things. So you can use that for good, or you can use that for evil. And so I don't know if it's necessarily their fault that they're talented or that the culture puts a high premium on that particular type of talent. And so, but, you know, once you get to a point where you're an adult and you are responsible for other people's lives, and you put other people's lives in jeopardy, then it's not just their physical life, but their lifestyle and their whole, the way they move and interact in the world, then there's a sense of responsibility that comes with that. And if you think about, you know, the biggest thing with the cheating, not the biggest thing, one of the biggest things with cheating is that, you know, you're putting yourself and your family at risk for STDs. You're putting your, you know, the risk of being exposed in the public light, the shame.
Right, right, and that's very important.
You know, where, you know, Tiger Woods makes statements saying that the paparazzi and media is chasing his kids to school. You know, his decision to sleep with women outside of the relationship is now impacting his children's well-being, and that's a huge level of responsibility. So I don't know if it's his fault that he was gifted as a golfer, but it's his responsibility as an adult to protect his family and to make decisions that are not going to place them in a position where they're going to have to deal with unnecessary challenges.
Now, can I ask this question? Could you really be, like, could Tiger Woods really be a good father and be a cheat at the same time? Can you be a womanizer and a good father when you, like, example you just brought up, when now he has media people following his kids? So now, not only has he exposed his wife, but now he has exposed his kids. So can you call this man truly a good father?
I think you can. You know, good is a qualifying word, so it depends on what you're rating good against. Could he have focused more energy on his family? Then I'd probably say yes, because the energy you're spending, you know, like even like me, I have a new baby, and I, you know, I could go and wash the car, or I could spend time with her. And so there's decisions that you make on a daily basis. You know, is it going to be going to a club and hanging out with, you know, your friends and partying, or is it going to be tucking her into bed and reading books at night? So I could not tuck her into bed and still be considered a good father because I take care of other responsibilities, but I may not be giving her all the energy that she deserves or requires. And so I think that's maybe another way to look at it, say, well, could he have been more efficient as a parent or as a husband? Could he have been more involved? Could he have used his energy to support his family more as compared to not use that same energy to not put into his family.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a sense of, I don't know if you would say he's a bad father or a good father, but he could probably be more efficient if he was spending all of his energy on his work and his businesses and taking care of his kids and supporting his wife. Because even supporting her makes him a better father. If she's not stressed out about wondering where you are, then she's going to be more able to attend to the kids during the daytime and be able to, you know, make sure everything else is straightened out while you are on the golf course or while you're on the field or at practice. So I think it's about shifting energy. And
okay,
if you can, you know, where is the energy going to most have, where are you going to have the most bang for the buck in each
right,
day
right.
when you wake up in the morning?
So, Dr. Brown, I guess I'll leave you this final question. You got guys like Doug Christie, guys who basically had their wife travel with him from city to city. And then you have other guys like Andre Karolinko, who plays for the Utah Jazz, where his wife would say, you know what, Andre, each year, you know what, you got your pass. You got your free pass. Do what you want to do with it. What are your recommendations to pro athletes who want to be faithful?
I think my recommendation would be do whatever it takes to make sure that you honor your vows and you respect your wife and consider your family when you make choices. And I think that can look a lot of different ways for different people. For some people, it's just a matter of saying, I'm going to, you know, instead of staying over that extra night, if you can, come home. Or it could be fly your family with you. Or it may be a matter of not going out at night.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be a matter of instead of you know, sitting in the hotel room all day long waiting for the game, you know, to really focus on developing those other interests in your life so that you have more to think about than just, you know, the sport and the things that, the trappings that come along with it. So I think whatever, it's really about do whatever it takes to make it work. And I think that's the same thing that, you know, men in the general population also have to do. You know, it's equally as tempting for the banker and the guy that works at Walmart and, you know,
or even the doctor.
Or even the doctor to, you know, have to be clear about what their choices are. But you do whatever it takes. And if it takes, and the biggest thing I think is having the dialogue. If you discuss and everyone's clear about what the expectations are, then it's a lot easier to manage those. Because a lot of times we don't have the conversations with our partners. So
mm-hmm.
we're saying cheating, you know, it's a joke. It's like, you know, is oral sex cheating?
Right.
And in some people's mind, it isn't. In some people's minds, it is. But if you haven't had a discussion about whether or not that is cheating, then, you know, people use that vagueness to their advantage. So it's about having discussions, making it work, and being committed. And if you're not, and I would say this, if you're not going to be committed, it's best not to get married. Or it's best to say, when you get to a point where you're not going to be faithful, to say, I'm not going to risk my family's life and my life, you know, for these moments of pleasure. And like Steve McNair, like you brought him up earlier.
We talked about him, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you have a person who now he has a wife and children and no husband and no father, the public shame, and the fact that this woman, the woman, I forget her name, that he was having the affair with, she turned the gun on herself, and her family has to deal with it. So you have several people, you know, mourning and dealing with this loss because of his choice to pursue her and for them to engage in a relationship outside of their vows. So that's the part where the risk is for a lot of people is a lot greater than the reward.
Dr. Brown, for the life of me, I just cannot believe that these women do not know. If Steve McNair is driving around this particular woman throughout all over town, and you know, Tiger Woods has allegedly been with double-digit women, I mean 10, 11, 12 women that we know of, it's kind of hard for me to sit here and say that she didn't know. It's almost impossible in my mind. I mean, am I off base? Is it possible
not to know? It's possible not to know, but you think about, you know, if you go back to, you know, Governor Edwards,
mm-hmm.
is it impossible for his wife, who was battling cancer, not to know that he was cheating and had a baby with someone else? She, I mean, from all indications, she didn't know. So that we know that people will go through things and go through great lengths to not tell information and to be blinded by it. So there's, you know, I can say that a person doesn't know. I can say it's sometimes things are staring in front of your face, staring at you in your face, and you don't see the signs. But just like with a person with a drug addiction, you know, a lot of times parents were like, well, I had no idea that my kid was using drugs. And if you talk to the addict, they'll say, I hid this very well from my family. So I think it's a that's a question that, you know, she has to wrestle with, and we'll always wonder if she knew or didn't know. But it can happen. And we've seen it, and we all have people in our own personal relationships where you're like, okay, my friend is cheating on his wife, but she has no idea. And I know he doesn't have an idea because he manages things at home. Money isn't missing. You know, he's a respectable person. He's nice to her. But he also has, you know, someone on the side.
Right.
So that's a good question. Did she know or didn't she know? But ultimately, we know the responsibility was how well did he hide it? And he hid it from he hid it from the world. So, you know, there's a sense that if all the newspaper reporters and his caddy even says he doesn't know, and he's with them every day almost, you know, is that true? Or do we all just turn the eye and didn't see what was standing there?
Right. Now, again, this is just another question for you, Doctor. Being faithful as an athlete, is it the exception and not the rule?
I think from the statistics you read earlier, if 90% are not faithful, then that 10% is the exception. I don't think that it has to be that way, and I don't think that it's not because it's because of their choosing to engage in it, but it's not something that's impossible. So if we have a generation of men that are taught to be faithful and honor their vows, and then to can they become adults, and they do that, then that number would change significantly.
Does that go to a larger issue of fatherlessness and lack of just parental support?
I think it's a larger cultural issue. Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you haven't seen a model of a man. Who's been faithful and had who've had happy relationships and have you know, lived a lifestyle of integrity, then it is harder to replicate. And when you've also seen adult men promote and put you in positions where you can have access to large numbers of women, even in college. I mean, we know if you go to college tours, the first thing they sell as a man on college campus, and that's for any if you're an athlete or just a student, is the women on campus. You know, you have access. We have the prettiest girls. We have the prettiest cheerleaders. We have, you know, the pool where you can do this, this, and this. And so those are selling tools. So we create a culture, or the culture is created in a way that we promote sex, we promote sexuality, we promote you know, loose living and a fast-paced lifestyle, especially around, you know, women with straight men. And that's hard to beat. It's hard to stand up against that tide when it's pushed for you, especially by older people. And it's accepted. You know, just the fact that 90%, if more men in the different, you know, leagues were saying, hey, we shouldn't do this, and they challenge each other when they see each other, you know, making these mistakes, then, or making these choices, then it will be less likely, the other men will be less likely to engage in it because it's not the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not accepted in the locker room.
Right. Well, Dr. Brown, it was a good dialogue here. Good talking to you, sir.
Thank you
for inviting me. Definitely appreciate you coming on.
Definitely. Thank you so much for inviting me.
And Dr. Brown, again, has a PhD in marriage and family therapy, and is an assistant professor at Lewis Clark College in Portland, Oregon. And additionally, he's a co-director of the Affinity Counseling Group in New Jersey. Anything else, Dr. Brown? Did I cover it all?
I think you got it all.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dr. Brown. Hope to hear from you again.
Will do. Have a good day.
Thank you, sir.
Peace.
There you have it. Straight from the mouth of the doctor, Dr. Andre L. Brown. Dr. Brown's basically saying that it can be done. It can be done. But, again, it sounds like to me what the doctor was saying in a lot of ways is that these guys, as they grow up, they grow up privileged. They grow up with the idea that they can have it all. And as T.I. eloquently pointed out in his song, they can have whatever they like. And unfortunately, in living that way, they become bad husbands in a lot of ways. They become womanizers. They become guys who for the most part, just go out and do things that are not appropriate for a husband, for not appropriate for a man. It leads me to believe that in some respect, obviously as kids and when you turn from a child to an adult, you have to change some things and you have to eventually be accountable for your behavior. But if we allow these guys to come up with privilege and allow these guys to do whatever they like because they have an exceptional talent, because they can do things a certain way, you're going to get guys who act a certain way. You're going to get guys who do certain things. And unfortunately, as we see more often than not, and like he stated earlier in the Steve McNair case, just a sad situation. And like Dr. Brown eloquently pointed out, Steve McNair not only affected his family, but he affected the family of the young lady who was his mistress and who was basically only 20 years old. I mean, a woman was only 20 years old. And unfortunately, she now is dead and he now is dead and lives have been changed forever. And it's an unfortunate thing, and it's a sad thing in a lot of ways. And you just hope that overall and eventually that people will understand the error of their ways, and hopefully people understand it earlier the error of their ways, and hopefully people will change. And unfortunately, It's sad. It can be sad, and in that particular case, it was sad because it ended tragically. So again, our number 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And again, you can email the show at goforit.gann@gmail.com. That's goforit.gann@gmail.com. And additionally, you can listen to the show on blogtalkradio.com. We have a caller. Hello, you're on Go For It.
Hi, how you doing? This is Mary.
Hey, Mary, how are you? Welcome to Go For It.
Hi, I was listening to what the doctor was saying. I pretty much agree with a lot of stuff he's saying. However, I will say the same thing as far as the women. A lot of times the women do not know. I mean, you might think that, you said that the women do know, but I don't think the women know. A lot of times the women don't know at all. They can assume and, you know, they can have these feelings and intuitions, but I don't really think that the women know. And,
no.
Of course, they don't want to feel that way because they don't want... They don't want to think that their man is out there cheating on them. I mean, that's, like, devastating, especially if they're home and they're taking care of the children and, you know, they're doing other, you know, stuff in their life. They don't really have time to worry about what their husband is out there doing every 5 seconds. You understand
what I'm saying? Mary, you don't think that Tiger's wife knew? I mean, Mary, do you think you would know if your husband was cheating on you?
I don't know. I don't want to put that on my husband. I don't want to say that my husband is out there doing that. I would really hope that he's not, and I would pray that he's not, but I'm not going to sit there and just assume that he's out there cheating just
so, Mary,
because he's a pro athlete or something.
So, Mary, you don't think you would know?
No, I don't think I would know.
So, Mary, guys like guys like Tiger Woods, guys like Steve McNair, guys who basically have cheated on their wives, documented that they've cheated on their wives. Is like you heard kind of what the doctor was saying. Is it their fault?
Is it the men's fault?
Is it the men's fault? Yes.
Of course.
Being
it's the
that
men's
they
fault
grow
because...
up in a life of privilege, where at every stop and every way they go, everywhere they go. They're given the opportunity of having the best things, and people are bending over backwards for them. So is it their fault as they get older that now they don't know how to act?
I definitely think it's their fault that they're going to go out there and cheat. I can't defend that. I definitely, as a female and as a wife, I would definitely have to say it's the man's fault. However, as far as, like, the men out there cheating, maybe the wives should go along with them. I mean, that's a suggestion that, you know, maybe would help if the wives travel with them and the people too, because, again, you know, they have other responsibilities they have to take, depending on if they have kids. They have to take care of the kids. They have to take care of the home, and they really can't travel like that. But if it does happen to be a wife that does not have any children right now, and I know myself, I would probably travel with my husband all the time. Wherever my husband goes, I would be there, be right with him. That way I know he's with me and he's not out there, or the media is not going to put his name out there as doing anything. You understand?
Right. Right. And even, like, for example, I talked about earlier in the show guys like Doug Christie, who now retired. But Doug basically did that. Doug had his wife travel with him from city to city. And in doing so, it helped preserve and save their marriage. So thank you for the call, Mary.
So you're welcome. And I totally agree with what Doug did. I think that was great.
Thank you, Mary.
Bye-bye.
Hello, welcome to Go For It.
Hey, man, what's up?
Hey, how are you?
How are you, Paul?
Doing well. Can I ask who's speaking? Who am I speaking to?
This is HG, our Amber.
Hey, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, man. I'm going for it, man. I'm going for it.
So, HG, can these athletes be faithful?
I believe it can. But I think it's difficult for any individual in a relationship to be faithful nowadays.
Let me ask you a question, HG. I understand what you're saying, but as an average guy, you may get grade B, grade C women coming your way. But as a professional athlete, you get grade A. You talk about the best of the best. I mean, you're the best of the best.
True, true, true. I agree with you. But I hate to toot my own horn there, Mr. Gann, but I'm, you know, I ain't a bad-looking guy myself. But,
so you're saying, HG, if you wanted to – so you're saying, HG, the temptation that you have would be the same as a professional athlete? I don't know how you look. I don't know how good looking you truly are, HG. But at the same time, HG, if you don't have this, you're probably not making the same type of money that these athletes are. So
not at all.
You can't tell me that you have the same temptation.
Not at all. Not at all. You're correct. I believe it can be done. I like what you're saying about the richest guy who has his wife traveling around. I think that is a very smart tool.
Mm-hmm.
And
what do you do if you have kids, HG?
Excuse me?
What do you do if you have kids?
Nannies. Kids may have to travel. I mean, it can be done. Traveling, traveling tutors, these things can be done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but ultimately, when you start to take that lifestyle, this is some of the cons of being famous, being an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
These are one of the things you gotta. There's a sacrifice. You get the fame and the money, but that's the part of the sacrifice.
HG, you think if you're do you think Tiger Woods and Steve McNair, guys like that, do you think their wives know that they're out there, or they were out there cheating? You think their wives know and just kind of accept it?
Maybe. With Tiger, I would find that difficult to not know. That many. I find that kind of difficult. Maybe with McNair, maybe she didn't know, but with Tiger, that's kind of like, sometimes, you know, being in love, you kind of only believe what you want to believe and see what you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
But I find that hard to believe that she didn't know. And well, as soon as it made public, then she had to, you know, now I got to play the routine. I got to play the part now.
So, HG, let's just say now, HG, you're a big-time athlete. And, HG,
right.
Now you just got married. You're on a diet now, HG. You got married.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
You're going from town to town, city to city, HG, and each time, you know you can't have cake. You know you can't have pie. But you know what, HG, it's in your face. Even if you don't want the pie, even if you don't want the cake, HG, it's in your face. So, HG, if you're a professional athlete, could you resist?
Well, like I said, I agree with what the guy did. Just had my meal plan fall with me at all times. Then that way, if I get a craving, I can go ahead and satisfy myself with my meal plan.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then that way, I won't deviate from my diet.
Okay, but HG, I think that sounds good, HG. But at the same time, HG, a lot of these times, these cakes are looking for you. These pies are looking for you. So if you're just walking down the street, HG, and you see, we're talking about grade A women, HG. We're not talking about B, C's, and D's. Grade A. So
you're talking about gourmet cakes and pies is what you're talking about.
Essentially. So if you're seeing these gourmet cakes and pies, HG, could you truly resist that?
Well, isn't it okay?
I mean, because your sweetheart is not going to be with you 24/7, HG.
Well, isn't it okay in some diets to kind of deviate a little bit? Have like, you know, you kind of have your day where you could kind of just cheat and enjoy your pie and your cake, but then immediately after that, go right back to your original meal plan.
HG, you're basically, essentially, HG, let me understand what you're saying, is that it's okay to have that pass, because there was a basketball player, actually Andre Kirilenko, as I talked about earlier. His wife gives him that pass. She says, Andre, do what you do. Do what you got to do. But as long as you come home.
Wow.
I mean, is that what you're advocating in some respect?
Not at all. I was just being facetious there, Paul.
Okay, HG. HG, I thank you for your time and your call, sir.
Thank you, Paul, man. Go for it, man. Go for it.
Yeah, you too.
Like to. All righty. Love you, man.
Hello, welcome to Go For It. Hello? Hello, you're on Go For It. Okay, I guess we have a technical difficulty there. But, I mean, to me in general, in a lot of ways, these, the women and the men, it comes down to an arrangement in a lot of ways, I believe. I stated it to the doctor earlier, and I'll say it again. I think the wife and the husband say this. You know what? The wife says to her husband, you know what, baby? Do what you do. Go out there, have a good time, bed this one and that one, but don't embarrass me. Don't play me. Don't be all over the media. Don't be having people taking pictures all of you, and don't have pictures splashed on this website and that website of you being with this particular woman and that particular woman. I mean, don't do that to me. But as long as you come home to me, it's okay. And a lot of times, that's what I think it is. And with Tiger, I thought it was that. With Steve McNair, I mean, there was reports of him just driving around town with this particular woman. So they know. The women know. They're not, in a lot of ways, they are not innocent victims here. In some respect, they're just a part of the game. And sometimes you just have to charge that to the game. And that's kind of the way I see it in a lot of ways. Now, I know a lot of had a few callers, HG and previous caller, Mary, talking about having the wife travel with you. Each city, have the wife with you. And to me, I mean, it's possible. I guess it could be done. But, I mean, at some point, you and I understand it works for Doug Christie. I understand it worked for them. But at some point, you as a man have to say, you know what, I can do this, and I can do this on my own, and I don't need – I mean, the way they're doing things is very extreme, and quite frankly, it's a little strange. I mean, they're in each city, pretty much, she's with him. And it's like, well, don't you have a life of your own, and don't you want to do your own thing and live your own life in some respect? I mean, granted, you want to be together and you want to be a one unit, but at the same time, you gotta definitely kind of live your own life and start finding some goals for yourself. I mean, you can't find goals for yourself, and you can't be. I don't think it's possible to find goals for yourself, and if you're traveling with this man in every single city. I mean, come on, but I understand why they do it, and at the end of the day, if it works for them, it works for them, and it's something they should continue to do. And I talked about Andre Kirilenko as well, and Kirilenko, basically, he gets that free pass. He gets that pass once a year, a few times a year, his wife gives him that pass. So if that works for them, then I guess it's all good to me. Hello, you're on Go For It.
Hi.
Hello?
Hi, Paul. This is Lisa.
Hey, Lisa. Welcome to Go For It.
Thank you. I just want to say this is a great show. I thought that the doctor was absolutely on point. I have a question.
He was. Dr. Brown brought it. He brought it.
He did. I think that you should have him back at some point.
Oh, we will. So, Lisa, can athletes truly be faithful?
I think that they can. I think that, like Dr. Brown was saying, it's about the commitment. It's about the commitment to the relationship and about honoring your vows.
Mm-hmm,
so I absolutely
mm-hmm.
think that it's possible. At the same time, I see what you're saying. There is a lot of temptation, but I think, like with anything, you have to not put yourself in the situation where you're gonna slip and fall.
So just, Lisa, just say you were married to a professional athlete. I mean, what kind of things would you want your husband to do to avoid doing those things?
I think that it's about the people that you surround yourself with. I think, like you were saying, the Doug Christie situation is really extreme in it. I think to a certain extent it is, but he knew for him that's what he needed to do to be faithful, to remain faithful for his wife. So I think that every player needs to know himself and surround himself with people that are, you know, trying to do what he's trying to do, which was remain faithful to his wife.
So in some respect, extreme circumstances, you have to do extreme things.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
So let's just say, let's there was another ball player, Andre Kirilenko.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be okay with giving your husband that free pass?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not, because at that point you are dishonoring your vows if you say that he has this pass.
But are you doing that? But because you made that arrangement, baby, your baby girl said to you, you know what, you can do it. You have that one pass. I'm giving it to you. That's our arrangement. We're married. This is our arrangement.
At what point does it become not okay?
I guess
if he goes beyond that one time.
If he goes more than that one time.
Well, I think that that's a very dangerous type of arrangement. I mean, you try it one time, like you said, if you're on a diet and you eat snacks, or you go to a city and you try the sweets, who's to say you're going to be strong enough not to try the sweets in the next city that you go to? I think that it can be a very dangerous type of arrangement.
So would you marry?
It's like an alcoholic that says they can just have one drink.
Mm-hmm.
You know they're not going to have just one drink. You know, the temptation is too great.
Okay. So would you would basically tell your husband, you know what, don't go to the club. Don't go to this place.
Right. And I think that it's about knowing your partner, because there very well could be some guys that can go to the club and not get involved with another woman and not really partake of everything that's going on around them. It would take an extremely strong person, but, you know, I think that it takes, you know, knowing your partner and also knowing yourself.
So would you marry a professional athlete?
I would have to know that person. I can't say, no, I wouldn't marry any professional athlete based on what the numbers are, the statistics are.
80 to 90% of athletes cheat.
I would have to know that person.
So basically, people who are faithful as an athlete is the exception and not the rule.
Mm-hmm.
So you 80 to 90%, that's high. That's high.
That is extremely high. The numbers are staggering. I can't say, though, I wouldn't date a particular person because of his profession. I would be probably a little bit leery about it.
Oh, actually, you can't say that. You would date a drug dealer?
No, that we're talking about a moral.
You're saying you don't date in terms of profession.
Right, but okay, I would probably not date someone who was doing something illegal.
Okay. Lisa, we thank you for your call.
All right, Paul, thanks for letting me go for it, and you continue to go for it. This is a great show.
You too. Hello, you're on Go For It.
Hello?
Hello? You're on Go For It.
How you doing? This is Lonnie from Virginia.
Hey, Lonnie, how are you?
Good. I wanted to chime in on the subject of, faithfulness with professional athletes.
Can it be done?
I definitely do. I think, like anything, temptation is out there, but it requires discipline. And here we have these men that are some of the most disciplined men in the world to condition their bodies, to get out there. Like in the NBA, they play 82 games a year, and they condition themselves, they discipline themselves to be the best in the world at what they do. And all they need to do is apply that same type of discipline to their marriage. And I think that they can be successful, just as successful in their marriage as they are in their individual sports.
But Lonnie, at the same time, each city you go into,
right.
Each city you go into, even if you're on a diet, each city you're going into, special cakes, the best cakes in the world, the best
right.
pies
right.
in the world, the best okay. candy in the world, all
yeah.
these things are the best. These are
okay.
the best.
But at the same time, they could afford the best food in the world, but they don't eat it, because they have to keep their bodies in the right shape. They can't get to 300 pounds. So they got to discipline themselves on what they eat. They got to discipline themselves on where they go. They can't be out everywhere all times of the night because they have to be disciplined. And so they can apply that same discipline to their marriage.
80 to 90% of athletes cheat.
It's the same. But I don't think that's an excuse. I think it can be done. And the fact that 10% do it shows it can be done. And so
well,
if it can
exception,
be done,
not the rule.
Right, but if it can be done, then all it requires is the discipline to do it.
Lonnie, we thank you for your call. And continue to go
thank
for
you,
it.
You too, definitely. Thank you.
All right. We got a lot of views, a lot of opinions there. We thank everybody who called, and we definitely thank Dr. Andre L. Brown, who joined us and laid it out for us. Dr. Brown did a good job of laying everything out. And just so you know, Dr. Brown has a PhD in marriage and family therapy and is an assistant professor at Lewis Clark College in Portland, Oregon. And he's the co-director of the Affinity Counseling Group in New Jersey. So, Dr. Brown, I wish you good luck. I wish you good success in whatever you do. And I thank all the callers who called in today and gave their opinions and who went for it, And each week, we're going to go for it, and nothing's going to change. All right? So we thank you. We thank Dr. Brown. We thank all the callers for going for it this week. And we leave you just like we leave you every other week. Go!
Take care of yourself. We'll see you next week on Go For It. Bye.